Good morning, Foundation. It is good to be with you this morning as we gather together online to look at God's Word and to hear from Him and to faithfully worship Him. If you will, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege it is to be able to have breath this morning. And to be able to worship you. Father, I pray right now as your word is preached and read, Father, that you would equip us, you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, Father, you would mature us in our understanding of you and how we can faithfully serve you, Lord, as your children. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. For context, I will begin in verse 1. Acts chapter 4. This sermon this morning is entitled Astonished. Astonished. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened, for the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We continue our study this morning in the book of Acts, the acts of the Holy Spirit in and through the lives of the apostles and the early church. This book is extremely encouraging. Just when the Savior of the world, Jesus, leaves the Holy Spirit comes, clothes his children with power to go and to be witnesses. Truth is proclaimed to thousands, and thousands are saved. The Lord graciously grew his church. When we hear the words, "But many believed," or "those who received his word were baptized," or "the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved," we must not forget that this is speaking about something that is eternal and not temporary. These words are not referring to something that will fade away. The exclusive gospel was faithfully proclaimed. Warnings were issued, and the Lord raised to life thousands that were spiritually dead. Through the word being preached, partnered with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, redemption occurred, and the early church was growing. Destinations were changed. A once hell-bound soul under God's wrath, dead in sin, was now an undeserved, forgiven saint with faith in Christ. Last week, I repeated the sentence over and over that God's word must control our lives in every circumstance. That God's word must control our lives in every circumstance. That people will be annoyed at the proclamation of truth. For there is one name under heaven by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Truth proclaimers, they will be persecuted. Our best life now, as earthly pilgrims marching to heaven, it includes persecution. We must remember this. We must remember that persecution will come when we proclaim the truth. We must look at our Savior, Jesus Christ. We must look at the early church. We must look at brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us and seen their lives and see how the Lord has used the persecution of his church to grow the church. It is through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. And as his children, we should desire more to enter. We should desire more to enter. So we preach the good news, knowing that God will save whom he wills. If you look with me at verse 13, verses 13 and 14 of Acts chapter 4, this is where we find point number one today. Clothed with power from on high. Clothed with power from on high. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Peter and John stood before this Jewish council after spending a night in chains, and they stood unashamed of what they did in the name of Jesus Christ. And they stood unashamed in what they proclaimed. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20 gives us insight into the preparation that these men had received from Jesus. Jesus said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." They stood with boldness, with courage, with confidence, because the Holy Spirit was in them. The Holy Spirit had clothed them with power. They understood who God was. They understood who they were. They were confident in the Lord. They were confident in the Lord. God was their Father, and they were his children. And they were not afraid of their present circumstance. They feared God. They did not fear man. This Jewish council of 71 men understood two things about Peter and John that caused them to be amazed. They grasped two things. Number one, Peter and John were uneducated men. Peter and John were uneducated men. Number two, Peter and John were common men or untrained men. Peter and John were common men or untrained men. These men who were greatly annoyed with Peter and John were also amazed with them. They were annoyed, but yet amazed. These uneducated and common Galilean fishermen amazed the Sanhedrin. The ministry of Jesus continues. They were amazed with Jesus, and now they were amazed with his children, his disciples, who just declared that Jesus is alive and he is God. Peter and John did not have formal training in Old Testament theology. They were Gentile fishermen. The world did not view Gentile fishermen as the cream of the crop. They were astonished that Peter had just boldly proclaimed with great authority salvation in Jesus Christ alone. They were astonished that Peter stood before them and said, "You crucified Jesus the Messiah." In verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." The 71 men who comprised this Jewish Sanhedrin, who had Peter and John brought before them, were amazed with these Gentile fishermen, and they came to understand that they had been with Jesus. The scripture says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Oh, how I long for this to be true of me. And when others are around me, they know that I have been with Jesus. How wonderful it would be if others recognized that we were followers of Jesus by the words that we said, by the life that we lived, that we had been meeting with Jesus, and it was seen in our words and in our actions, that our education is not supreme, that our background does not matter. Blessed men and women are men and women who know God and live for Him. Knowing about God is not enough. What the council knew was not enough. The Sanhedrin was astonished that Peter and John were uneducated and common, but these fishermen had something that they did not. Peter and John had been with Jesus for 3 years. And Peter and John had the Holy Spirit. The Sanhedrin did not. To know the Lord, to know the God of the Scriptures, this is greatness. This is better than any formal training that you can receive. In Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised merely in the flesh." It is not enough to look good to what other men and women can see with their eyes. It is not enough to be clean on the outside. We must be clean on the inside. We must have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Men and women who know the Lord, they are blessed. Men and women who daily meet with God, they are blessed. and they will live for the Lord. Verse 14 of our main text. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. They were amazed with Peter and John. They could say nothing to what had just happened. They recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus, and they could not say anything to go against what they had said and did. For the lame man was now standing on his own two feet beside them. It was clear that the lame man was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. The proof was in the pudding. They had no reply, and they said nothing because of the crowd. Peter and John, they were clothed with power from on high, just as all of God's children are. We who belong to Jesus are eternally saved and temporarily sent on mission to proclaim the kingdom of God. Our suffering is temporary, saint. Our suffering is temporary. The suffering that you and I have all experienced over the last few weeks, it is temporary. All the suffering that we're going to experience in the future, it is temporary. Our home with Christ will not include suffering. And we must praise the Lord now for this. We must praise Him. Our home with Christ will not include suffering. Paul, who experienced much persecution, he talked about this in Romans chapter 8. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." He goes on in Romans 8, verse 35 to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our hope is not in what we can see with our eyes. Our hope is not in our present health. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Christ was raised from the dead. Therefore, there is a future resurrection. We are redeemed to the blood of Jesus. Just as Peter and John stood before thousands, witnesses of this truth, this is to be us. Jail did not slow them down. They were clothed with power from on high. People will be annoyed. Persecution will come. But we have been clothed with power from on high, and this annoyance and persecution, it will not last. John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. See, our hope is not temporary. Our God, He does not change. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, He is the cornerstone. Peter and John, they were clothed with power from on high, and their minds were fixed on pleasing their Savior. Is your mind fixed on Christ and what is to come? Or is your mind focused on what is temporary and will not last? Is your mind fixed on Christ and what is to come? When our mind is fixed on Christ, He is our delight. And obedience will flow when we delight in Christ. In Acts 4, verses 15 through 18, we find point number two, an undeniable miracle and an earthly warning. An undeniable miracle and an earthly warning. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For a notable sign had been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." You've got to love these verses. These 71 men who pulled together, Peter and John, uneducated men, common men, they had no idea what to do with them. They asked Peter and John to leave the council so they could discuss the matter. They were clueless. There was not denying the fact that the lame man was healed in the name of Jesus. You could not deny that. The entire city understood it. This was an undeniable miracle. The problem was this: the miracle stood against the council and it elevated Jesus. The miracle had stood against the council. It elevated Jesus Christ, but no laws were broken. The council feared the crowd. They were not like Peter and John, who feared the Lord. This council, they feared the crowd. The Sanhedrin was not going to say, "Stop healing people," because the crowd would have not responded favorably with those words. For I am sure that there were many in that crowd who were waiting for the release of Peter and John so that they could be healed. The Sanhedrin council denied the truth that Jesus is a Messiah and that they had killed him. What they understood was that his name needed to not be heard, and teaching in his name needed to stop. We see this very much today. People don't like the name of Jesus Christ, and people want all teaching done in his name to stop. So they charged Peter and John to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. "But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called them and they charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. They wanted the fame of Jesus Christ to stop, for it was hurting their own. They were prideful men. They were not concerned about truth. They did not love the truth. They knew the scriptures, but they did not recognize that God had come to earth and that they had killed him. They recognized that these two men before them, who were common and uneducated, had been with Jesus. And they wanted the name of Jesus to stop. They wanted the fame of Jesus to stop, for it was hurting their own fame. If his name and his teaching were to continue, what would happen to their power and their influence? So they called Peter and John and charged them. They warned them. They threatened them. "Speak no more in the name of Jesus. Teach no more in the name of Jesus." Peter and John were on mission because they had received commands from God. They had been issued heavenly commands, but now they were receiving an earthly warning. Jesus had commanded them to go and to make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach all that Jesus had commanded. Their Savior had given them that command. Go and make disciples to all the nations. The Holy Spirit's going to come and clothe you with power to go and to be witnesses on high. And now Peter and John stood before 71 men. 71 men with earthly authority, giving them an earthly charge. Speak the name of Jesus no more. Teach no more in the name of Jesus. The fear of God versus the fear of man is on the table. Jesus had taught Peter and John. He said, listen to these words out of Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valued than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. We must not fear who can kill the body and not the soul. We must not fear who can kill the body and not the soul. We must fear the Lord. We must fear the Lord who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God's word must control our lives in every circumstance. We are to live on every word that God has breathed out. We must live on every word that he has breathed out. We must ask ourselves the question, do we fear God or do we fear man? What is your pattern in this life? Let the word of God bring conviction upon you. Do you fear the Lord or do you fear man? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We must fear the Lord. We will all stand before him one day and give an account. We must fear him and serve him and live for him now. Obey his commands. For it is a joyful thing to belong to the Lord. It's a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing if we fear man and not God. Are you allowing the fear of what man could do or what man could say to take precedence over what God has commanded you to do? What is an earthly warning in comparison to being clothed with the Spirit of God? What is an earthly warning in comparison to being clothed with the Spirit of God? And point number three we find in verses 19 through 22. We must listen to God. We must listen to God. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. Peter and John were warned by men, but they were not concerned with what man could do to them. They were concerned with fearing the Lord. To never fear man and to always be fearing God. Would that not be wonderful? How I wish I could say that was my pattern. Peter and John answered these men, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. To not speak the name of Jesus, to not teach in the name of Jesus is not something that they could do because they were Christians. Peter and John appealed to God, the highest authority, far above this Jewish council. The Lord commands that we submit to governing authorities. Absolutely. Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. But we are to obey the Lord above all. In the words of the late theologian R.C. Sproul, we are always to obey those in authority over us unless that authority commands us to do something that God forbids or forbids us from doing something that God commands. The words of Peter and John, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Do you grasp right here? Do you grasp what Peter and John just said to these men? Two men standing before 71 with a humongous crowd surrounding them. Stop and consider these words. They were declaring to this Jewish Sanhedrin council, proclaiming Christ is not something a Christian can stop doing. Proclaiming Christ is not something a Christian can stop doing. We should not be able to stop speaking about what Christ has done. We should not be able to stop speaking about what Christ has done. And there's two main reasons for this. Reason one, we will speak about our new life. When you receive a gift that you do not deserve, you will speak about this new life. You will understand the great exchange that God has taken away all your sin and God has given you the greatest thing, salvation in His Son. That He has given you everything. That you are an heir. That you are now a child of the King. We will speak about our new life. And reason two, we will go and teach because we have been commanded, and as God's children, we love to obey Him. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I am a child of the Lord, but I do not love obeying the Lord. Dear child, you need to examine yourself very clearly, because His children love to obey Him. They love to obey Him. We don't live perfect lives, but you love to please the Lord because you understand grace. Throughout our lives, there are many important dates that we remember. For me, I think about my anniversary. This December will be 15 wonderful years with my beautiful wife. 15 years. I think about the births of our three children, of Addison, Colby, and Alyssa. I think about those whose journeys have ended. People whom I love and people whom I miss. But there is one moment, there is one date that surpasses them all, that is far above the rest. And that date is the day that the Lord saved me. That day is the day that the Lord transferred me to the kingdom of His beloved Son, took away my sin. And when He looks at me, He sees the righteousness of Christ. There is one name given under heaven by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. And a true Christian will not be able to stop saying His name and teaching in His name. In verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what they had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Peter and John, they were further threatened, and they were released. The Sanhedrin could find no way to punish them because of the crowd. The crowd was praising God for what had happened. For the lame man was now leaping, but the council was blind to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Proclaiming Christ is not something a Christian can stop doing. We should not be able to stop speaking about what Christ has done. We have been clothed with power from on high. Let us not fear earthly warnings. Let us listen to God. We are called to be witnesses. We are commanded to be witnesses. It is an imperative. Jesus, He commanded Peter and John, go and make disciples of all the nations. We will all one day pass away, but God's word and His kingdom will never pass away. Let us be faithful to proclaim the kingdom of God. Let us never stop preaching Jesus Christ. Let us have the exact same boldness that these men did. They were confident in the Lord. They were bold because they were clothed with the Holy Spirit, with power from on high. Let us have that same boldness and march forward, resting in who the Lord is and living for his name. For our chief end is to glorify him and enjoy him forever. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Father, thank you for the boldness of your children to proclaim the gospel. And I love the response of the world. They were astonished. Father, may we boldly stand on your word and unapologetically proclaim the truth of your word. May we inform others of the good news that is found in Jesus Christ and call people to repent and believe. Father, give us boldness. Remind us of your word that we are not alone, that you are in us. Father, I pray for those who are listening who are not Christians. Convict them of their sin. Call them to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Foundation family announcements for this week. On Wednesday, April 8th, we will have our Zoom gatherings, 4 p.m. for the kids, 5 p.m. for the youth, and 7 p.m. for discipleship. And on Thursday, the women will gather for discipleship and fellowship on Zoom at 7 p.m. I miss being with you. I miss seeing you and gathering together and worshiping the Lord. I am praying for you. And please let me know if I can do anything to serve you or your family. Let us live for the Lord and glorify him.